John Baxter. Thaddeus McCotter is here, my colleague and co-host, and we're having a happy conversation with Andrew McCarthy. Millions and millions and millions to be replaced by a courtroom in Manhattan. April 15th is the date, tax day. And the charges against Donald Trump by the Manhattan District Attorney are, well, I can't summarize them. I can say that tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of documents showed up at the last moment from the federal prosecutor's office, the Southern District of New York. And the question now is not guilt or innocence, it's whether the Trump team has had chance to review 130,000 documents, something like that. And Andy, my first question to you is, why do these documents show up now? They've known about, the Southern District has known about this trial for some time.
Well, I suspect, John, now I worked at the Southern District for 20 years, and I suspect they're none too happy about Mr. Bragg's prosecution, because what he's actually trying to do is, under the auspices of a New York falsification of business records statute, what he's in a very covert way trying to do is enforce federal campaign finance law, which is law that he doesn't have jurisdiction to enforce and is normally enforced by the Justice Department and the Federal Election Commission, both of which looked at this case and decided not to take enforcement action against Trump. So in essence, what you have here is Bragg trying to make the case that they will say the Southern District failed to make a campaign finance case against Trump. And I'm sure the Justice Department, because Alvin Bragg shouldn't be enforcing federal law, and because it will ultimately make them look bad if he appears to have made a case that they didn't make or they chose not to pursue, I'm sure they weren't tripping over themselves to be cooperative. And as a result, according to Bragg, a year ago when he asked for their files, they rebuffed him. And they're not legally required to help him. And then late in the game, Trump thought that there was more information out there, particularly about Michael Cohen, who's a major witness in this case, Trump's former lawyer and fixer. So anyway, Trump did, the Southern District of New York, and that's how these documents were pried loose from the federal government, not by Bragg, but by Trump subpoenaing them.
That is?
Andy, we've seen instances where politicians have been fined at the federal level for campaign finance violations, Mr. Obama and others. What would have prevented a red state district attorney from trying to enforce that state's law against somebody like Mr. Obama?
Oh, I think if this is going to be the rule of the road now, you'll probably see exactly that. I must say, I think the big problem here is that it's not that the Southern District of New York did not want to make a case against Trump. They were clearly trying to build a case against Trump. That's why they had Michael Cohen plead guilty to campaign finance violations, even though I don't think he committed them either. The problem they have is that technically the expenditure we're talking about here, which is a hush money, or what, that's a pejorative term, it's a non-disclosure agreement with a woman who claims to have had an affair with Trump long ago. And they paid her prior to the election to keep her quiet. Technically, that's really not a campaign expenditure, even if the campaign gave her some leverage to demand that Trump pay that she wouldn't otherwise have. A campaign expenditure is really something that derives directly out of the campaign, like paying for get out the vote efforts and polling and that sort of stuff. If you have a debt or another expenditure that's not directly related to the campaign in the sense that if there weren't a campaign, it wouldn't exist, that's really not a campaign expenditure. So it's not legally cognizable, I don't believe, in federal law. And Bragg is, that's the reason I think that the Justice Department and the FEC decided not to pursue this case. And Bragg, to try to bring it into his business records case, is basically making up campaign law as he goes along. So I think the whole case is a lark or a farce. And what it should have been at most is like a single transaction misdemeanor falsification of business records. I'm not even sure that you could prove that, because you have to show that Trump had fraudulent intent. I don't know that they'd be able to prove that. But the idea that you take something that trivial and turn it into 34 felony counts, where statutorily he's looking at over a century in prison, in theory, is just ridiculous.
That is, I have a question for you as a recovering politician. Gerard Baker asked it in today's column in the Wall Street Journal. Are Americans who say they plan to vote for President Trump doing so in spite or because of the sustained lawfare campaign he faces up to, possibly beyond Election Day? Is there an answer to that, that is?
Well, clearly it's part of the Democrat strategy to drive Republicans towards Mr. Trump, to have him appear to be a martyr, and help him secure the nomination, which has happened. I think independents are going to wait and see where the dust clears. I think they are very worried about the creep of politics by both parties into what is supposed to be the blind administration of justice, the impartial administration of justice. And I think independents are going to hold and wait. But I think the Democrats clearly are playing with fire, because as we've talked about before, with the judgment against Donald Trump of $500 million, where there have been no victims and everybody made money and the money goes right to the state, not to victims of any alleged crime, they're going to start to realize that the biggest shakedown artist in New York is the Attorney General's office, and they're not going to like that.
Andy, a question for you then. The trial begins April 15th. That will be every day. Donald Trump will be in the courtroom, coming in and coming out, making statements, and that it'll go on for weeks. Is that how it's going to, what it's going to look like?
Yeah, Juan Merchan is the judge, John, and he intends to sit 4 days a week, taking Wednesdays off. So Trump is a criminal defendant. He's required to be at his trial, and he is already using his social media platform to attack the way the judge is handling the case. So I don't have any reason to think that he'll stop that unless they try to impose a gag order on him, which would be controversial, but it wouldn't be the first time that they've done something like that to him.
And is there any expectation of how many weeks?
The estimate is 4 to 6 weeks of trial. And I think it's going to take a while to pick a jury. Probably at least a week. I'd be surprised if it took less than that.
4 to 6 weeks every day, except Wednesdays, in the courtroom, making statements in and out. This is a campaign platform, Andy.
I think, John, if you think about it, nobody wants to be indicted. So I'm not saying Trump wanted to be indicted, but he's got these lemons and he's going to turn them into lemonade, in the sense that because he's going to be chained to courtrooms. And remember, it's not just this trial. The Justice Department's going to try to get one of those, at least one of those trials, the cases to trial. He's going to spend a lot of time in courtrooms. So he has to use it as political theater, because he's not going to be out on the campaign trail like a traditional candidate.
Andrew McCarthy, National Review Online. Thaddeus McCarter, American Greatness. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,